Thanks for listening to the Adam Carolla Show on Podcast One. It's time to check Adam's voicemail.
Mr. Carolla, Paxton, your favorite wildland firefighter comedian. I just got busted, taking a left on red by one of those intersection cameras, and I'm not paying it. Fuck 'em.
You can leave us a message at 888-634-1744.
Good. Heroes shouldn't have to pay for going through arrows.
That's good.
Wow.
I like that. By the way, just had a funny Dylan, I hate soccer note. Dylan loves soccer. I'm convinced because he knows I hate soccer, but either way.
He never brought it up before I worked here.
He loves soccer. He loves soccer. And I said to him, oh, you're watching your soccer game? And he's like, well, it's over. And I'm going, what was the exciting score? 2.5 to 2.5, a tie? And he hung his head and he went, it was 2-2.
Exactly.
Like, it was as close to it.
I know.
Mathematically possible, the joke that I'm making fun of, why you don't need to watch soccer is how his game
How many
ended.
Lovely balls and great crosses. It comes down to that.
Thank you.
It takes a lot of skill, and so does archery, but I don't want to watch it. Mm-hmm. Johnny Mathis.
Ooh. Oh, chances are.
Can I jump in real quick? Only because I reminded a favorite movie of ours, starring Steve Guttenberg, Diner.
Love
There's
it.
A scene, I sent it to Chris, throw it up here, where they discuss, this was the discussion apparently back in 1950.
Johnny Mathis better Frank Sinatra?
Yeah, Sinatra versus Dylan Mathis.
He's not.
I know, apparently this was a debate back in 1955.
Oh, God.
I forgot about that.
Tremendous movie.
Tremendous.
And compare Mathis to Sinatra. There's no way. No way. They're in totally different leagues.
Eddie, they're both great singers.
You know the thing about Sinatra? He's good, but he's kind of thin. I don't like that.
Yeah, but you can't compare them. Sinatra
Gutenberg.
Is the Lord, all right? Mm-hmm. He's big in movies. He's big in nightclubs. He's big.
Skip that. Let me ask you another question.
All right. We can cut out.
But it happens.
This goes on for hours.
It happens.
Johnny, so we're in Vegas a few weeks back, and I was like looking at some hotel, and I was like, oh, I remember when my buddy Philip the Juggler opened for Johnny Mathis.
Wow.
Years ago, I went out to visit him in Vegas. And Johnny Mathis, when you meet him in real life, is had a little Michael Jackson in him before.
Absolutely.
Michael Jackson, like very soft, very feminine.
Absolutely.
Very light
little
voice.
Little grease sideburn kind of thing.
And like a very wavy kind of look.
But the voice of an angel.
And, oh, sure. And a little feminine. And there was always rumors he was gay, but it was. But the back was like, well, Liberace's a confirmed bachelor. But look out, ladies.
You bachelor.
But listen, sorry, ladies. No, you can try.
Good luck, ladies.
Yeah, there's a lot of that. But so I said, Johnny Mathis. So how many records? So let's all be blown away by Johnny Mathis. Johnny Mathis is what?
All right. So Brian
alive,
might.
Right?
The only one who might know this is Brian, because Johnny Mathis, star athlete in high school.
Mm-hmm. How many records has Johnny Mathis sold?
Records? Including the Christmas albums?
God.
It's got to be in the 50 million.
So I was going to say 80 million.
Yeah.
Max Pat is looking, because that would have never
And
come
I'll
up.
Tell you right now that I think
when,
he
when
was,
you said records, I thought you meant the records that we're about to talk about.
CDs.
Oh, sorry.
Albums. 350 million.
Oh,
I said
God.
50 million.
All right, so he's
lowballing the guy.
He's sold 350 million records. Now, forget about that part. Let's talk about the athletic part.
I think he was a track. I think he was on the track team in some capacity.
Triple jump.
Okay, yeah, I think he was a jumper,
high jumper, and hurdler.
Come on,
played on the basketball team. He got an athletic scholarship to San Francisco
State. Wait, you were in the fucking hall when he brought it up.
No, I swear to God.
You asked if that was Aaron Hernandez.
Oh, that's right. But I wasn't thinking about that. You're right. My bad.
I'll be more impressed next time.
I'm sorry.
Let me say something. Yuri Geller. You bend that spoon with your mind. Yuri. Listen, Yuri.
I was forgetting about that.
You bend my spoon with your mind. I'm impressed.
Okay.
You go out to the car and get your own spoon.
No,
I'm less impressed.
I understand that.
I was literally reading these facts off to
I'm
Adam
sorry,
outside
you're
and
right.
It was next
no,
to
No, I wasn't putting two and two together. My bad. You're right.
I'm not that impressed.
All right, you got it.
All right, go ahead.
Anyway, so athletic scholarship in college. While there sets the high jump record.
High jump!
Yeah.
Well, for
you
were
in the hallway.
Six feet,
I wasn't out there.
6 feet, 5.5 inches, which is still one of the college's top jump heights.
That's Johnny Mathis. He's a sort of... Doesn't seem like a big or athletic guy. When you see him in real life, he's sort of diminutive, sort of soft handshake and everything.
Yeah.
It was only 2 inches short of the Olympic record at the time.
Damn.
And that's when they did the roll over the bar, not the Fosbury flop.
And where was this?
This is San Francisco State College.
San Francisco State, sure.
Yeah. And him and Bill Russell were actually featured in a San Francisco Chronicle demonstrating their high jumping skills. Russell number one and Johnny number two in the city of San Francisco at the time.
He wants to come up to his navel.
Wow.
During one meet, Johnny...
tall.
During one meet, Johnny actually beat Russell's high jump attempt that day, and he is often referred to as the best all-around athlete to come out of the San Francisco Bay Area.
Get the fuck out of here!
I dare you!
Tom Brady would like a word with you!
Mathis, he was supposed to try out for the Olympic team in Australia in 56, but he had to choose between that or going to New York to record. Took his father's advice.
Sucker.
Went to New York and to sing.
Oh my God.
Who knew Johnny Mathis was a crazy athlete?
Wow, decorated.
Insane, right?
Wow.
I had no idea. All right, there's my Johnny Mathis moment.
I can't believe it. I know one song, chances are. I'm done.
Because you were
well, you know, Christmas stuff.
Well, sure, but I mean, original songs, chances are I'm done. That's it.
All right, I want to thank Tommy John. Go to TommyJohn.com/M. TrueCar, TrueCar.com, and Geico as well. All right, let's do some news, shall we, Gina Grad?
Let's do it.
Terrific.
Give me the news with Grad. News with Gina Grad. Breaking viral. All those crazy Trump tweets. Give me news with Gina Grad. Trouble in the Middle East. Celebrity drunk meltdowns. Eat news with Gina Grad.
The news with Gina Grad.
Well, some really sort of horrific news that people are talking about today. Empire star Jussie Smollett was brutally beaten in Chicago by two men in ski masks Monday night in what appears to have been a homophobic and racist attack, according to TMZ. And you hear that and you're like, yeah, right, what'd they do? Well, they have very, very good evidence to support that. So sources say the 36-year-old openly gay actor walked out of a Subway, you know, sandwich place around 2 a.m. when the two men approached him.
Oh, by the way, we got to get rid of the Subway, the F word. LT, like, walked out of the Subway. It's like, you don't be riding that subway that late at night.
Your hands.
I want a hokey.
Yeah. You didn't see that movie, The Warriors?
Warriors.
What are we doing carrying a sandwich when you're on a train?
Are you asking for it?
Yeah.
So they beat him up, then reportedly tied a rope around his neck and poured bleach on him. Witnesses say they ran off yelling, "This is MAGA country." And remember, this is Chicago. Okay. This is bizarre.
Definitely not MAGA country.
No, it's not. Yeah. Smollett was taken to the hospital, treated for a fractured rib. He was discharged Tuesday morning. Chicago police are investigating the attack. They're treating it as a possible hate crime.
How do you know who he is? Like
Empire.
I know, but you have to like follow him or
that's
something?
That's what I'm saying. Like, are these guys just the luckiest racists on earth? Like, oh, they're not a celebrity.
I like to think of myself as the luckiest racist on earth. Two beautiful white children, beautiful white neighbors living in a wife drives a beautiful
Tesla.
Wow. You know what I mean? I like
trimming my hedges with a scissors.
That's
guys
right.
Got it all.
So there's something that was going on before this. So meanwhile, this letter was sent to Fox Studios in Chicago, and TMZ sources say the letter was sent 8 days ago. Okay. It's addressed to him. It looks like, I don't know, a 3-year-old wrote it, and it's a bad picture of somebody shooting him in the head, and it in cutout letters it says you will die. Yeah,
the black fag.
Yeah, so somebody.
Wait, Gina, what does it say?
Nope. So somebody is targeting this poor guy.
Clearly,
and
an English
put him
person
in the hospital.
Talking about
Jesus
a black cigarette.
Christ.
Right.
Here's what I'm going to say up front, right away. I hate to even say this because it's. I hate that I have this feeling, but I don't think it's real. I think it's set up. I think that's bullshit. I think the fact that they had bleach on them in Chicago, hoping that some black guy would walk in, they'd do this and have a rope. There's something about this that stinks. It's too perfect.
Now, AJ, I will speak to that saying when I read this headline and I was reading, I was like, this just doesn't add up.
Ooh.
We're going to find out tomorrow something.
Something is off
on
this.
It's so bizarre and it's so horrific. I thought the same thing. What are we going to find out that hopefully contradicts this because it's horrific?
Is the bleach a sort of white skin, black skin thing? Or is that just like
symbolic of, you know.
I don't think he has dirty clothes ordinarily.
No, it's symbolic of turning
white.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
Featured in a movie, by the way. Turning P people white.
See Thomas Howell.
Yeah. I've only brought it up.
Ray Don Shaw.
I only bring it up 9 times a week. But you find that scene from Billy Jack.
Oh.
And they go into the ice cream parlor and they dump the sack of flour on that little Indian girl.
Didn't they put stymie and the buckwheat in the washing machine? Little rascal.
That was just good clean fun back then.
Well, listen.
Yeah, so here's my take. Okay. I could never say something is a hoax because it's horrific, and it may definitely be true.
Ooh.
I'll say that we've had a lot of hoaxes, and the problem with a lot of hoaxes is it brings into question when real things happen.
Right.
You go, oh,
exactly.
Now is this real? Is this cooked up again?
Is this more than
and so you created a with the swastika in the bathroom at the airport written backwards.
Right.
So we've had a lot of that. So now we all have to go, which sucks
for this poor guy,
but
too.
If you think about it, statistically, we live in a world where it's like, oh, it's so racist, we're homophobic, and then the big stories come out, and then we get a little peek behind the curtain, and it turns out there's a lot more going on, and it wasn't what it
just go
was
back
presented
to the,
at. Yeah. But there's got to be some,
yeah,
and maybe
course.
This is it.
Just go back to the march with the Indian and the Covington High School kids and the whole thing. It was filmed from a certain angle, blah, blah, blah. There's too much of this story that's perfect. That's the perfect racist thing. The bleach, the rope. I don't buy all of it. And because we just went through this other bullshit story, I need time. Mm. I need time.
AJ needs time. All right.
Oh, you know what randomly popped in my head the other day that was kind of similar in the sense that all of our first instinct was this is horseshit. Ended up being true, apparently. Well, the London kid, either Jason or Jeremy London, the one who was kidnapped and forced to do drugs.
Yeah, right.
And like, the whole thing was like, some guy's forced to do drugs.
In Palm Springs?
I don't remember.
I think he ended up in Palm Springs.
It was Jeremy or Jason London.
Yes.
And he violated his parole, and like it was like, oh, they forced me to do drugs. Sure, buddy. Sure, they did. The guys were caught.
Yeah,
that's crazy.
Morton Downey Jr. did the was Junior or was it just Morton Downey?
Is it Junior? Yeah, Morton Downey Jr. Yeah,
is it Robert Downey?
It's both.
It's both.
Okay.
Literally, just watching CNN.
When Morton Downey
'80s.
Like pulled himself into the bathroom at O'Hare. Tore his shirt collar, threw himself on the ground, and then took a Sharpie, a ballpoint pen, and drew a swastika on his forehead. The second we found out he did that to himself, we should have had him killed.
Yeah.
Well, like, as a society, we're like, listen,
you have no place
that's
here.
A special circumstances sort of crime. I know you didn't take a life. We cannot have you walking amongst us anymore.
No, you ruined everything.
You're the worst person ever.
Yeah.
And you shouldn't even want to be alive, actually, if you would do this to yourself.
It's the opposite of the boy who cried wolf, kind of. It's like you did everything that we're afraid of, and now we can't believe the real people.
That is a crazy story, but I think I have him. I have an all-star lineup of television smokers from my childhood, and he's on my Mount Rushmore of guys who smoked. While they and you know the thing that was always funny about guys who smoke, like you'd see John Lennon do it, like all these guys, they'd sit down, they'd do an interview with Dick Cavett, and they'd have a lit cigarette, and they'd be holding the lit cigarette, and they'd be going like, "I'm going to take a draw off it," and they'd be like, "Where'd you meet Yoko?" And they'd put the thing back out of the guy and go, "Well, we met in Liverpool, whatever." And well, you guys all met at what 15, 16? And they'd start to move the cigarette to their mouth. They go, "Well, Paul was." Ringo was, and realized they don't even get to smoke. Yeah. Like, you can't be interviewed and properly smoke, so now you're just up there stinking up the place with your cigarette.
And
the fucking ash is 12 inches long, and Dick Cavett's answering. He's got a question chambered, and you can never get it into your mouth.
Right.
It was pure affectation.
But remember like how awkward it was to see Johnny Carson come back from break and steal a quick fucking coffee?
Yeah.
Oh my God, he smoked!
Yeah,
like, you told your friends the next day. Keith Hernandez in the Mets dugout was smoking in the 86 playoffs.
I love it.
Unbelievable.
It's too bad that guy was molested by his dad.
All right, let's keep going.
Do you have that scene?
My dad went to high school with Keith Hernandez.
Best guy in the Bay Area.
Aaron's father molested Keith Hernandez. He had a lot of time in his hands.
Yeah.
I only know Keith Hernandez because of Seinfeld.
When he was 9, his nickname was Just for Men Hernandez.
Grecian formula.
Yeah.
All right. Sorry. Where were we?
Are we waiting for something?
I'm just trying to find that stupid scene. All right. So we'll find out more about what happened in this case.
Yeah.
Terrible story.
Terrible.
So Monday night, it was reported that a list of Grammy winners was leaked on social media. Now, listen up, betters, because...
Oh.
Here's what we know. Yeah, hackers from Russia supposedly got backdoor access to Grammy's website and posted the 2019
backdoor
results.
Backdoor access. Wait a
Thank
minute.
You. I love that movie. So according to the Post, Grammy Awards will go to the following people. Beyonce, Lady Gaga, Travis Scott, Cardi B, Zedwith Marin Morris, Chris Stapleton, Cole Swindell, Childish Gambino, and Best New Artist Chloe and Halle. However, a spokesperson for the Recording Academy issued a categorical denial. They said there's no legitimacy to the
legitimacy.
I can't. I'm going home.
Legitimacy.
To this.
Mm-hmm. Yes, of course.
Grammy Awards results are not shared, even with Recording Academy staff members, until the day of the Grammy Awards.
That's a lie.
They're threatening legal action against the hackers.
I know that's
what
a lie.
What do you know, AJ?
I know that the Oscars are shared and the Grammys are shared. I had an acting teacher named, remember Carrie Snodgrass, the actress who did Diary of a Mad Housewife? She won the Golden Globe. She was up for the Oscar, but she hated Hollywood. So they said, Charlton Heston was the SAG leader. He goes, Carrie, you got to come to the Oscars. You know, if you come, it's going to mean you'll get the award. And she was with Neil. She was with Diamond. What's his name?
Lou Diamond Phillips.
No. The rock and roll.
Neil Diamond.
Neil Diamond, not the Sweet Caroline. Neil Diamond.
What other Neil Diamond?
You know what I mean?
Neil Young.
Neil Young. She was at Neil Young.
Neil Young.
Okay. And
the
Neil
Diamond
Young,
guy.
Neil Young was anti Hollywood. He goes, "You're not going to the awards." And Charlton Heston flew in with a helicopter to their compound and said, "If you don't go, you don't win." She goes, "I'm not going," and she didn't win. So she told me, she was my acting coach, and she was adamant that when he fucking dies, I'm going to tell everybody that this, everybody knows, but she died first.
Oh, wow.
So they know who's going to win.
You're getting vengeance for her right now.
Goddamn right.
Yeah.
Carrie
Snodgrass. We'll see. I don't know. Place your bets. Don't place your bets.
All the sports books have taken down the Grammy odds.
You're living in Bristol, right? Mm-hmm. And there are three hairstylists that are going to open a shop.
There's a third.
There's Donald Trump over here.
Wow.
There's Chris Berman's place is across the street. And then Neil Young's guy is going to open a shop just across the way. Where do you go?
You're killing me. I mean, you're killing me.
I don't think Neil Young's guy works very hard.
I was going to say.
I'd probably
it's cobwebs.
I'd probably go to
the
Berman.
The barber's pole stop turning.
I'd probably go Berman. Berman's a little stronger.
Do you have the Billy Jack scene, Max Zapata. They took the little Indian kids in to eat some ice cream.
Sure.
And this
it was your first mistake.
It's a very barren ice cream shop.
Yeah. All right. So no headdress, no moccasins, no service. Here we go. This is I don't know why, but it's kind of reminiscent of the time we're living in now, though. It was like 1972.
I love it.
Generic rock and roll music. What do you kids want? We're an ice cream
stand.
I want to see the
menu. 30 cents for an egg salad.
Can I buy some ice cream cones, please?
He's illegal.
Sorry, I'm all out of cones.
You just served the kids ahead of us.
Look, I told you I'm all out of cones.
Here comes the townies.
Now you're fucked. Now you just can't leave.
Oh.
Smart little punk, aren't you? Hold it. Come on, you guys.
It's
no need for
Michael Landon's retarded brother.
It's a simple problem.
I think he's more Richard Gere's retarded brother.
You work hard on your own store, and you feel you should have a right to serve wherever you want to. Right? Right. Okay. Well, a little miss up yours, your feels if she wants you to serve.
By the way, she's hot. I give her free ice cream.
I like
her
this.
I would provide the cone.
So's the Coachella chick.
Hey, dinosaur. Bring me some of that flour over there.
What's wrong with this guy's mouth?
By the way, half the people are white.
That girl's 12 years
There's
old.
There's only one Indian kid.
Yeah.
Simple solution is simply to make Miss Up Yours non-white friends white.
This guy never worked. Oh, my.
He's dumping the flour on him.
Hey, you're right.
Eric Ben is right.
Oh.
What's the matter, boy? You can let the women do the fighting.
Come on, let's get out of here.
Billy Jack's going to write this wrong. Let me tell you something. Being like the town. All right, being the town racist.
Oh, my God.
It's hard, right?
You're leaving money on the table. Like, you're walking. It's like, you can't work because of your schedule, like your racist schedule. Like, what if Indian kids are eating? There's the Baskin Robbins, and I'm at my desk. I got to get up and walk across the street. And
I want to get home at 5, but I don't know what's going to happen.
You have to confront strangers all day and, like, pull out a switchblade. And yell, come on. Hey, come on.
You know, the old saying, if you look around, you can't identify the town racist.
I'm just saying, I feel like the town racist wife would go like, come on now.
Yeah.
We got a fucking,
we
got a mortgage over here. We got a car payment.
Like, Molly, you know I'm the town racist.
By the way, it's not like you get a stipend for being the town racist. It's non-profit.
It's thankless.
And
money flows one way, out.
And by the way, you got to work weekends and holidays. Like there
especially
is no
holidays.
Especially
the flower budget alone.
What did this guy do after this movie? I need to know his career.
Bernard?
That's
Richard Gere's retarded brother. I need to know what this guy's done.
Well,
fantastic.
His name was Bernard. And
oh, wow.
Although I think Billy Jack called him Bernard or Bernard something. They never knew how to pronounce his name correctly in the movie. And at some point, he got in his 427 vet. And Billy Jack made him drive it into the river. Like, he's like, I'll either kick your ass or you drive your new rich white guy car into that river.
Well, I think De Niro took this scene and turned it into Now You Can't Leave with the locked door in the bar with the motorcycle guys. It's very reminiscent of that.
We have John Lennon on Dick Cavett waving around a cigarette. Does he ever take a hit off it?
No, so the entire time, you see him light it.
Because he's on heroin, that's why.
And then he's just talking, waving it around. And we don't really know what happens because it goes to break.
He's on junk here.
He lights the cigarette
See, he's using matches.
I like these using matches.
Matches is heroin. Lighters aren't heroin.
So he's on with Yoko.
An all-over bag or just over your head?
All over.
Yes. That's a terrific idea.
Well, where's Miss Ono and all that? And, it's you, is it? And all that. And he was pretty calm about it because...
She's smoking, too, but she's talking, so she can't smoke. And then John's just lit it up. I think their thing is like, look, we don't enjoy cigarettes, but we enjoy secondhand smoke, and the whole front row is going to walk out here smelling like an ashtray.
Brian, you can confirm this. This clip we're watching right now, this is the clip they used for Forrest Gump, is it not?
Yeah, it looks like it. Yeah,
it is.
It appears so.
1971.
I'll bet you the segment producer said, John will sit closest to Dick Cavett, and then Yoko, well, we'll leave a seat open for Elijah, and then Yoko, and then John probably went, Yoko, sit there, and then poor Dick Cavett's got to, like, talk across her the whole time. All right. He never takes a draw. He's just waving it around.
I had a buddy who was a junkie tell me that junkies always light cigarettes with matches, never lighters.
It's got to be true.
It is. Yeah. The more you know.
They always, you know, I had a bi friend of mine tell me that bi guys always put dress socks on, starting with the right sock.
Thank God. I go left first. Okay, good.
So, thank God.
That's how you know. So if you're ever at a gym and you see a guy getting dressed, and he puts that dress sock on the right,
good to go.
That guy's bi.
He's bi.
Yeah. Wow.
Very particular. Awesome. Interesting.
There you go.
Okay.
Yeah. All
right. We're learning a lot today. Covering a lot of ground.
Yeah.
All right. Well, TMZ reports that Conor McGregor and Khabib Nurmagomedov, I think I said that correctly, are effectively suspended for their roles in the UFC 229 post-fight brawl. Oh. So Conor was hit with a $50,000 fine, and he'll be eligible to fight. Yep. Yeah. He'll be eligible to fight again on April 6th. Khabib's suspension's a little different. He was hit with a $500,000 fine and a 9-month suspension, but he will have the ability to get a 3-month reduction if he makes an anti-bullying video.
Well, hold on a second.
Gary, who you got in the rematch?
Nurmagomedov.
Okay. Conor gets vanquished and he's sitting there on his butt, like on the canvas, kind of leaning against the fence, kind of dazed and confused. And Khabib starts screaming and spits on him.
Yes.
Then he goes over the fence. Then he starts fighting with the Russian troll. Then other guys jump in the ring and start throwing punches at McGregor. Yeah. I'm not sure why McGregor's getting fined. I mean, at a certain point, he was trying to fight back and
he said some bad things about the Russian guys.
You get choked out, and then you're sitting there, and a bunch of guys jump in the ring and try to kill you. Yeah. I don't know what your part is.
It's probably
Gary's got.
Because
from the dolly throw.
Connor said things. Yeah. Yes, but Connor said things about their organized crime possible connection, and that really pissed them off.
Yeah, Gary.
There was also when Khabib went over the fence, a few members of Khabib's team went over the fence the other way from the audience into the octagon and came at Conor aggressively. And before they had a chance, Conor threw the first punch and hit one of them.
Yeah.
So they're saying that he threw the first punch
at a civilian.
I'm sorry when guys who are wearing tap out t-shirts go over the fucking top railing, land in the ring, and you know they're from this guy's camp, and some two of them spar with him, or one's his judo coach or something, and they come running at you.
You
don't ask what their business is. You do throw the first fucking punch. That's neither here nor there.
Right.
Well, and then
Gary, who's in the wrong?
Nurmagomedov.
Okay.
Sure. Nurmagomedov.
Then also, AJ, I don't remember if this is the guy you were talking about, but I wanted to bring it up just in case.
It is.
Khabib's cousin, he's an MMA fighter who was also involved in the brawl. He received a 1-year suspension and a $25,000
fine. It is. That's the guy I brought the story to you guys. The other story that's going on with Conor that's making the rounds is that on December 10th, he was brought in by cops in Ireland and questioned about a rape in a nightclub. There are people who think it's not true. There are people I talk to in news organizations in Ireland who says it is true. He was questioned and then released. We're still waiting to find out if it's true or not.
You know, it strikes me that all these guys, and I don't know where Khabib is from, but there's these guys. It's like, remember how pork was the new white meat?
Yeah. Sure. Yeah.
These guys from Ukrakistan are like the new white meat. Like, we used to have Dwayne Bobic and a bunch of big Randall Tex Cobb and stuff like these guys from like Oklahoma and stuff.
Yeah. Now, it's the
now the white guys are the Baltic guys because they grew up wrestling bears and sleeping on the floor and walking through 7 feet of snow and stuff. Like, they just, they're the new, like, Whitey not into getting his head bashed in
it's
anymore.
It's not even about black neighborhoods in America. It's about Russian horrifying neighborhoods where you eat like a loaf of someone's shoe heel for a week and you're fine. It's like the worst underprivileged poor people in Russia.
Right, but the guys, again, the guys who will always be the fighters will just be the poor people, you know.
Well, back of course.
Jews used to fight, Italians,
Johnny
Irish.
Johnny Mathis would fight. He was quite a fighter.
What's his heritage, Johnny Mathis? I don't think Mathis is his real last name.
Interesting. He's, we looked it up. He's
Trinidadian?
He may be like Caribbean or
feels
something.
Like an island
guy. It's got some Hispanic and some black Hispanic in him.
I'm going to go Trinidadian.
Something weird.
Brazilian and Spanish.
Oh,
interesting. Is Mathis his real last name?
Yeah.
Wow. No, interesting.
Really?
It's a weird one for a Brazilian Spanish guy.
Must be shortened.
Mm-hmm. All right.
From Hernandez.
Let me tell you about Tommy John. I'm wearing mine now. If you're a big Valentine's surprise, it's going to the supermarket for some roses or the drugstore for some chocolate. Rethink it, man. Valentine's Day gifts can be great with Tommy John. Redefining comfort for men and women with luxurious, soft, feather-light, moisture-wicking underwear that moves with you. No pinching, no bunching, no riding up. Look, you will not go back. You won't go back. I can't tell you. I'm wearing mine right now. Like, I literally, and there's a couple of brands out there that are sort of knockoffs of Tommy John, and even the stuff that's close is no cigar. I don't put my cigar in those. Still looking for a great gift. You try their limited edition loungewear and their underwear as well, including matching his and her sets. Last year, the limited edition stuff sold out in less than a week, so don't wait. It's the best pair you'll ever wear, or it's free, guaranteed. No adjustment needed. It's Tommy John, right, Dawson?
Shop limited edition Valentine's Day gift sets and get 20% off your first order at TommyJohn.com/Adam. That's TommyJohn.com/Adam for 20% off only at TommyJohn.com. TommyJohn.com.
Mm-hmm. He's a big golfer, too. Do you know that?
Who?
He's had 9 holes in one, Johnny Mathis.
He's had a lot of holes.
And there's, thank you.
Stop it.
Several Johnny Mathis golf tournaments all over the place. And
Belfast. Like great, he's like a great golfer, too.
The Johnny Mathis Invitational.
What?
Track and field meet. Wow.
Field meet. He invited a lot of guys over. Now, sure. Yeah.
All right. Well, we are in the thick of betting season, so we'll just keep on that track. Millions of people are planning to bet a little something on Super Bowl 53, but truly committed gamblers, Brian, they're wagering on the halftime show. So odds makers are laying lines about all sorts of things, but the most popular right now
Suck minus 800.
Exactly. Yeah.
Is what song they're going to play first. As of now, here are the odds. One More Night, 3-1. Makes Me Wonder, 3-1. Animals, 5-1. And Don't Want to Know and Girls Like You, both 6-1. There are also bets on whether Adam Levine will wear a hat, whether he'll take a knee in support of the players during the anthem, and whether he or anyone else will fall during the performance.
Wait a minute. He doesn't need to be out there during the anthem, right? Like, who?
The anthem?
Yeah.
No.
No, not anthem.
That's what it says.
Anthem.
In support of the whether he will take a knee in support of players.
No, he'll take
to do
a knee
that during the anthem.
Why would he
do that? So at some other point, who knows?
I think someone who doesn't know what they're talking about wrote that story.
Exactly.
I didn't write it.
Mathis,
I just read it.
Mathis says he's taking two knees this year in extra support of
chances.
The player.
Isn't it What's Her Face?
It's from Sporting News.
No, the anthem is Gladys Knight or something.
Yes.
She's Georgia. In there too. Well, you know what they did? Initially they said, hey, we got Maroon 5. And I think I was here and I said, where are all the black stars from Atlanta? Why are they not singing? And then they've added like 8 black stars from Atlanta, including Gladys Knight. And I forget who else is singing who's black from Atlanta.
But that is a weird story. Where would he be during?
He's
be
not even
tuning
there
up
yet.
And then,
he's on the way there.
Yeah.
Although if you really wanted to do your thing, would he come out and take a knee just to showboat?
Someone got that wrong.
No, that's weird.
It's not your fault, either. Someone wrote that wrong.
I don't feel the blame. Thank you.
He might take a knee. I mean, the prop bet is probably will he take a knee during his performance. That's
right.
It's absurd to think he'd be
that
wearing
makes ridiculous. Sense.
What's the... Is the over-under like 54.5 or 55
I think
or something
56,
like that?
56.
Great question. I actually don't know if the
Patriots 3.5, and I think it's 56, the over-under. I'll take Pats and under.
I like... My feeling is if it's 3.5, I take the Rams because the Pats will just win in dramatic whatever
3 points,
by 2 or 3 points at the end and break everyone's heart, but at least you'll have the bet. All right, what else?
Well, if you missed Black Panther in theaters last year, you'll have another chance to see it, and it won't cost you anything. A day after the movie won at the SAG Awards for Best Ensemble in a Motion Picture, Disney announced that Black Panther will return to the movie theaters in celebration of Black History Month. Last year's highest grossing movie will screen for free at 250 participating AMC theaters from February 1st to February 7th.
For free?
Yeah, and then they're going to donate $1.5 million to the United Negro College Fund, Disney.
Have a little note on my screen that Ernest Bigot is going down to the Inglewood Magic Johnson Theater for the midnight screening, and he's going to do a little Q&A afterward.
Why not?
This may not go as planned.
Well,
he has some Wakanda
questions.
He's
going unescorted, and he'll walk alone to his fan when he's done. So just a little heads up to good people.
No, I think it's a wonderful thing to do.
How come they can use the word Negro in Negro Confines? I can't. I'm just asking. It's the National Association for the Advancement of Colored People. Why can't I say colored? Why am I just asking?
How'd that black lady get into the lab? Just asking. And where's her cleaning stuff? Just asking.
Cleaning stuff. Yeah. Yeah.
Ernest Bigot wants to know.
Yeah. I like just the
He's like my new science guy. He's the new science guy. I want to hear him do everything.
Yeah. I'm just asking.
Yeah. Get away with murder.
So that'll be the Inglewood Magic Johnson Theater
midnight showing.
Just following the free showing.
Good
that'll
luck,
be
everyone.
Friday and Saturday.
And he has
night.
Nobody with him. He just goes alone?
He walks out to the car alone. He goes with somebody, but they don't. They take separate paths when he goes back to the van.
I think he's a brave individual.
I don't know. I don't know.
We're going to find out.
He just wants to know.
Well, AJ, curious if you have anything on Tori Spelling because
I fucked her. Is that okay? Can I say that? 1991?
News is over.
Well, listen,
back to
she
AJ.
Was 12.
Yeah, no, she wasn't actually. And I thought she was Alyssa Milano, so that tells you what I was like that night.
Oh my God.
AJ.
Really?
Wait.
It's a true story.
You thought Tori Spelling was Alyssa Milano? Did you
I thought
eyes
she was.
Out?
I was at the China Club in New York, and I thought she was Alyssa Milano.
It just got worse for Tori Spelling.
Well, Alyssa Milano was quite a looker.
Yeah.
And
Tori, on the pay grade, not pay grade, on the looks grade, you know, she wasn't quite approaching where we're looking at her now. We're talking 91, 92.
Wasn't she at the height of her power?
Pretty much. Me too, apparently.
Yeah.
Wow, that's a feather in your cap.
Not really.
No?
No, it's a story.
It's not even worth me reading the story. It's nowhere near as good as
No, listen, so let's, it might get me feeling nostalgic.
Okay.
What do you
get? Do you just not want the feather so Bernard doesn't dump the sack of flour on your head, or is it really not a feather in your cap?
I haven't counted it as a feather, ever. But okay. I couldn't resist saying it. I'm
so
here.
You guys hooked up in the height... in the height of 90210?
You tell me. It was 90. Well, she was, people knew her, so I guess it was on.
Oh, 91, yes. It was prime time.
I wasn't watching it, but I knew, like, oh, that's somebody that I should know. But
right.
I thought it was Alyssa Milano. And I just, I erred.
Okay. But you had a good night?
Well, it finished the right way. The morning, the sun came up, and I saw her on a morning show, and I realized, wait a minute, I didn't fuck Alyssa Milano. I fucked Tori Spelling.
Mm. Wow.
Yeah.
Hey, we're all here. We're all
We've all been there.
We're all
we're all adults.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, in much less exciting news about Tori, she knows how you feel if you're dealing with some big credit card debt. Spelling just received a court order forcing her to pay $88,000 to American Express that she owes. The credit card company sued the actress 3 years ago for failing to pay months and months of bills. It's still waiting for her to pay, so Amex got a court order forcing her to cough it up. And then, so Spelling and her husband, Dean McDermott, they've had very highly publicized financial problems, apparently, over the years.
Well,
and she was sued by Citibank to pay $400,000.
Sorry for...
Wow.
Okay, so Aaron Hernandez Spelling is...
I love that guy.
Dad. That guy lived across from Hefner in Holmby Hills in a, you know, famously million... in a. You know, train that would take you to the present wrapping room.
It's insane, right?
Crazy place, right? Oh, all right, God. And they sold for a kajillion dollars, and then I guess Candy Spelling went and bought like a double rise, you know, Wilshire townhouse for a kabillion dollars.
In, like Brentwood, I think.
Like, yeah, like off Brentwood. Of Wilshire, whatever they're off. There's a whole corridor of like super high rise, super expensive, kind of as close as we get to Manhattan out here in terms of that kind of real estate. There's jillions of dollars that were generated by Aaron Spelling.
Yeah.
What is she seen none of it?
Wasn't there a big dispute between Candy and Tori for the money?
Yeah.
Is Candy alive?
I think she is.
I heard that every time Dean and Tori have a child, that's when Candy kicks in and gives them money.
Oh.
That's what I think. I've read that. I don't know that firsthand. I've read that sort of story because they're, you know, they're overextended and Candy helps them when she's pregnant.
So who's got a better relationship? Angelina Jolie and John Voight?
Wow.
Or Candy and
I think
Tori?
John Voight thinks he does. I think he makes people think that they're getting along great. And Angelina probably hasn't really said anything worthwhile to him in probably 15 years. Mm. I think.
Sad.
They're very hard people to figure out.
Aaron Spelling was worth $600 million at his death, and then they sold the house, you know. And
but did he leave it all to Candy to divvy
that's what
up?
I'm saying.
Looking at like those just the celebrity net worth things, so Aaron Spelling was $600 million. Mm. Candy Spelling is now $600
million. There you go.
Tori Spelling is now $500,000. So I don't know.
In the red.
In the red, yeah. That makes more sense.
Yeah, $480 in the red.
So I guess she's not... Hey, you know, whether the Menendez brothers or one of the Spellings, try to keep things cool with the rich parents.
Yeah.
You'll be happy down the road.
Yeah.
You won't be
play
in jail. You won't
but that's a story like,
have
you know,
big debts.
We were talking about how do you discipline your kids? Can you put your hand on a kid? What he did is just almost worse.
What?
Just to not even acknowledge that you have it. Like, just not giving them any, not giving her anything of his... fortune to just look away from his daughter. What could she have done to him?
Well, he gave her, you know, I don't think she was a great thespian. He gave her a role in the series, you know, that's worth something.
But that's what I would do the same thing for my daughter.
She was on Hotel.
It's like putting your son on the team.
I just did the math. That means AJ would bang his daughter.
No,
Alyssa Milano, which would be a good thing to say to the cops when they're pulling you out of a room. Wait a minute.
I thought you said
I'm saying, honey, daddy created a show. There's a spot for you. Who wouldn't do that?
Yeah.
No, you wouldn't do that?
No, I
mean, come on. Something. An ensemble show?
Yeah, no, I get it. And then no one could act, and who cares?
Right.
And they gave... But I'm thinking about, would you give your daughter $50 million? Like,
I had 600, yes.
You would. But don't you think if she was 29 and you died and gave her $50 million, she'd just fuck it all up? Like,
I guess you're right, but I couldn't leave them with nothing.
No, I think I would need some sort of plan where
okay,
it's
that's,
like
that's
you
fair.
Get a, you know, $3,000 a month
if,
provided you're working
that's
and
fair.
Sober
that's
whatever
fair.
It is.
And that's what that's it sounds fair. Like maybe Candy's doing. Maybe it said that Will, if there's we will take care of the kids, but we're not taking care of Tori and Dean.
Wow.
I don't know. I'm guessing.
I don't know.
All right.
Yeah, so so Tori inherited $800,000 along with her brother, who inherited $800,000. Yeah. Candy inherited the rest, and she set up a $10 million trust fund for Tori's eldest child.
There it is.
Okay. Well, all right. There
am
you
I
go.
In there? I'm not in there at all. Okay. I didn't know.
I banged Dean McDermott once, but I thought it was Brian Austin Green. Fucking humiliated the next morning.
Yeah,
one
it
time.
It happens.
It happens. It happens. All right. Let me tell you about True Car. 60 seconds. That's as long as this commercial's going to last. You know, you know what else you can do? In a minute, you can get an offer on your car. You just go to True Car, use your smartphone or your computer, enter your license plate number, and watch your car's details pop up. Answer a few easy questions. Get an accurate True Cash offer from a local True Car certified dealer. Then bring your car in. They'll check it out with you together. Ask questions, get answers, no surprises. Then you can either leave with a check or you can trade in your car on a new or used car. So when you're going new or you're going used and you want to trade your car in or you want to just walk out of there with a check, you always go True Car for a better buying and selling experience. Check it out, True Car today. True Car, baby. All right, Gina, one more.
Well, you know, I wouldn't end with this one normally, but you never know what AJ's going to have on who.
Oh, Jesus.
So, you know what? I'm just going to give you the name, and if you don't have anything, we'll move on.
Okay.
I'm dying to know what you got on Roger Stone. America's
Roger
villain.
Stone, I know. Roger Stone, many years ago, when I was dating Carrie Young, who ended up dating Donald Trump, I came to L.A. in 97. I had a TV show on the E! Channel called, my tagline was Fame as a Bitch, and I kept getting letters in the mail, Fame as a Bitch, and so is your ex-girlfriend, because she's fucking Donald Trump. And I go, who is sending me these things? I got about 50 of them. Roger Stone was doing that to
Wow.
me.
Amazing.
He's
I
out
knew
of his
it.
Mind.
I knew he'd have something.
Out of his mind.
So
and he's going to turn on Trump.
Yeah.
And this is a very big situation going on.
You think he's
going
to turn on Trump? They seem like ironclad.
No. I know 20 years ago somebody thieves. Begged him not to turn on Trump. He's going to turn on him now.
I watched the so in the last year Netflix has been saying would you be interested in
the
Roger Stone documentary. And I was like, nah, I kind of get the idea. And then his name's in the news. Like, fuck it, I'm watching the Roger Stone documentary. Now your first instinct might be, yeah, but you know, it's a you got to figure who's making the Roger Stone is the subject, willing participant and star of this documentary.
Right.
It is just as though he produced and directed it. It's not a fluff piece, but he is a willing. He's in every scene,
right?
Oh my
talking
God.
About himself.
And
like
here's the headline already because one day. He'll turn. The headline will be Rolling Stone.
Ooh,
oh,
it rolled
good.
Over. That's good.
From my news background.
Well, I heard he has amazing. A giant tattoo of Richard Nixon.
Like
he's
right
insane.
In between his shoulder blades.
He dresses like Mr. Monopoly.
He dresses like a Bond villain.
Hangs out with gay guys and does the whole gay
Let
night out.
Let me tell you something, too.
Did
his crazy, crazy dyed hair, bleached hair.
Oh, my God.
It's fine. As long as you have money, as long as you're out of prison.
Look at this.
But if you do weird hair colors and then you go to prison, your hair immediately gets fucked up.
Yes.
That's true. That'll be the real problem.
And you know, he had these swinger parties with his
That's
wife
what I was going to ask you about.
Requesting no fatties. Did you see that? They had a special
I
request.
Didn't see that. But he, he did pay, allegedly paid guys to have sex with his wife. African American gentleman.
He posted explicit
How's that?
Ads.
Wow.
For,
How's yeah. that? He had Johnny Mathis fuck his wife. And he watched. Okay, listen.
It's crazy.
You know, it's like... It's
Although
like,
Johnny Mathis may not be black. I think he's Hispanic.
It's like the senator who, like, you know, is a little too anti-gay, turns out to be, oh, what a shock. Yeah.
It's like the Godfather.
Roger Stone, for a guy who loves to call people cuck, is a cuckold.
Yeah.
Loves to be cuckolded.
He should know.
But these are
his thing.
Yeah. These are Trump's friends. Like, this, how creepy it is. So obsessed with him. Michael Cohen, Roger Stone, so obsessed with Trump. And Cohen turned, and he's going to turn... That's the big turn.
And they turn harder.
Big turn.
Trump turns harder on Cohen.
I knew in 1991 when I was a newspaper guy, don't trust this guy. He's bad news. He's crazy and he's dangerous. How many years later is it? He's still at it.
Well, I was listening to something on the radio and they were talking about how, I don't know how what the source was, but that Roger Stone has been grooming Donald Trump to be president for 30 years. He used to take out weird ads in the paper about it.
He did.
And really started putting that bug in his ear years ago. And everybody laughed at him. And he said, I know what I'm doing. Watch this.
Well, he's kind of a clairvoyant.
Yeah, or a puppet master.
Yes, but he is a crazy fucking guy. Be careful with him.
See the doc, everyone.
Be careful.
It's very compelling.
I'm going to watch.
Anyway, very he was arraigned Tuesday morning. We'll leave it at that.
Yeah. No fatties.
Hashtag. No fatties.
Well, if someone would invent my welcome mat scale, we could avoid the embarrassing confrontation. Of course. You know
it disables the ring doorbell as soon as it's said.
Every once in a while, there's a little confusion because you're like saying to your wife, how come my bowling ball hasn't arrived? I ordered it months ago, and it's like, oh.
Sorry.
The guy must have been holding it while she was...
Your wife's outside holding groceries. I've been ringing the doorbell for hours.
Yeah, sorry. You got to set it down on the stoop.
You know,
right.
You know the
Come
rules.
On.
Will you please remind
anybody
us...
anybody coming to my door?
What do people need to put on their online dating profile? Because I always get it wrong, and it's my favorite thing.
This is good.
The women need to be on a scale with the newspaper with the current date.
What? What is it?
The men need to be next to one of the 7-Eleven.
Yeah, the men need to stand next to the door of the 7-Eleven, and the women need to be on a certified. I want Dana White in the picture holding a current USA Today with the weight.
Why 7-Eleven? I'm losing
because it has the measuring thing right by the door, and like a copy of their bank statement.
Yeah, that's good.
That's fair. All right.
I gotta say, Roger Stone's tattoo of Nixon is a little disappointing because I've heard it has a giant.
Yeah, right?
It's giant.
No,
it's
giant.
Well,
no.
You got to hear. If you hear giant 2,500 times and you never see it,
you should cover the whole back.
And it's the size of a saucer. Yeah. It's not.
It should be a tramp
it's
stamp.
It's great.
It should be
I was praying it was a tramp stamp.
You're thinking Steve-O size.
I was thinking like when guys come into the ring and they have the wings on the back of
portrait.
Them or whatever.
Brock Lesnar.
Yeah, I got giant. I got giant. All right, sorry.
He works out his back. On. You can tell he does back.
Yeah, he sure does.
He does lats and shit. Yeah.
All right, here we go. Okay. Bring it home.
You
can
got
we bring it.
And we'll do it right now. I'm Gina Grad, and that's the news. This is MAGA country. Gina
Grad. That was the news with Gina Grad.
You can go to amcrola.com and find out about Bald Brian's socks flying off the shelf. You can watch Road Hard for free at Tubi. That's TUBITV.com. Our 10th anniversary party at the Peterson is looking like it's selling out.
Wow. That's crazy.
So, but you can still go. The car show will be there with Leno during the day. And I think we'll have some tickets to the movie as well, Uppity. So come on out for that. I think that's on the 10th. Corolla Drinks having a Super Bowl party. Burbank Hooters, everyone. AJ's going to be there. Lynette's going to be there. Mangria Girl's going to be there pouring the Mangria cocktails. So go say hi to all our loved ones over there. Say hi to Geico. Everyone's got the to-do list. How about you save hundreds of dollars on your car insurance? Don't have to go anywhere. Just go to geico.com. 15 minutes. You could be saving 15% or more on your auto insurance. Just go to geico.com. Put that extra money in your pocket. Going to be the most rewarding thing you do all day. That's Geico. Geico.com. AJ Benza, famous a bitch, every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday on Apple Podcasts. You can also sign up for his Patreon and get podcasts every day. Read the column every week in Star Magazine. Say hi to our friend Laura Ingram on her podcast at Podcast One. And until next time, it's Adam Kroll for AJ Benza and Gina Grad and Paul Bryan. Say mahalo.
Well, AJ, curious if you have anything on Tori Spelling because
I fucked her.
Stick around for today's episode of Good Sports. Dave Damashek and Adam Carolla coming right up. Jimmy Kimmel dared Adam Carolla to go on stage completely unprepared, and Adam had the balls to do it. So now you have the balls too. Bingo balls. Adam Carolla is unprepared is coming to your town. February 8th in Connecticut, February 9th in Boston. We got a bingo ball hopper. You write down one word on it, and Adam will spontaneously create a rant around it live on stage.
Steampunk. Oh, Jesus Christ. You guys know what steampunk is? This is basically rockabilly for people that make more than $37,000 a year.
Adam Carolla is unprepared. February 8th at Foxwoods Casino in Connecticut. February 9th at the Wilbur in Boston. Get your tickets now at adamcarolla.com.
said, Shecky, let's do it. Good sport.
The Podcast One Sports Network presents Good Sports.
Hi and hello, sports fans. Welcome to a new episode here in Super Bowl 53 week of Good Sports. Dave Damashek here, Adam Carolla there. If you want to lock into some pro football talk, listen to the Dave Damashek football program coming at you from Atlanta, Georgia this week. Ace, it's your Rams. It's against, it's the 21st century dynasty. I wonder if you have any thoughts on this. I was on the air with our mutual pal, Matt Money Smith, and in fact, you called in, and it was a delightful, unsurprisingly delightful conversation that you had. By the way, I hope you've been sharing with the Adam Carolla Show listeners your yogurt red alert. You need that. That's a 5-alarm alert.
Well, I shall. I shall do it now.
All right, go ahead. I mean, just do it now.
Look. There was an issue with yogurt years ago, which is yogurt containers were too tall. They put the fruit at the bottom. You then have to bury the whole spoon in it to stir it up.
No one wants that yogurt halfway up your spoon. No. It's going to get on your fingers.
And I would argue that if you took a yogurt container like from our childhood and took a tablespoon and put it next to it, it would go 3/4 of the way up that thing. And there's nothing worse than yogurt on the spoon handle. So then I invented fruit in the middle. Kimmel quickly announced that that would never work. And
I can attest as an eyewitness, one of the great battles between Kimmel and Carolla of all time. Of all time.
A lot of arguing about fruit in the middle and how it wouldn't work because all the fruit would sink to the bottom.
That clam chowder is poison. No, the clams are smoked. That was another great
debate. A lot of allegations and innuendo, insults. Finally, we just agreed.
Jimmy's like, no, because I remember you saying like, and Shaq, why don't they put the fruit on the top? And I was like, yeah, that makes perfect sense.
One in the middle, but go ahead.
And Jimmy then weighed in like, what are you guys talking about? The fruit is put on the top and then it sinks to the bottom. Yes. If you put raspberry, whatever that is, concentrate or whatever.
Compote,
right. If you put that on the top, it ran to the bottom, it would turn the white yogurt pink. It would stain it. You're like, nope.
Well, now you sound like me circa 2001. It was a big argument. Anyway, we patched it up. We moved on. Things
you
were never the same.
You couldn't do any worse for yogurt, or so we thought.
So now I realize that the new shape of yogurt is not that deep trough can we used to get them in, but now it's the short punk box. Like it's a shorty. They dropped them down 1.5, 2 inches, and they broadened them.
Right.
Which is fine, but when I finish the yogurt and then you set it down with the spoon in it, it falls over because the spoon, it's not high enough. The wall's not high enough. Obviously, if you have anything of any heft at all, you could take it and balance it on your hand if it's up and down. But when it gets at that 45-degree angle, it tips the whole yogurt thing over. Mm-hmm. So we need to come up with a new yogurt container that is tall. Or we need to get JPL or NASA or something hard at work or a defense contractor going on a lighter titanium spoon.
That might get it done, right.
Either the spoons are going to be lighter or we got to get taller walled on the yogurt containers. And those who are going to tell me, well, use a plastic spoon. Rotten hell. I'm not using a plastic spoon at home. Not in my home. Not in front of my children.
Daddy dearest, I told you about the plastic spoons.
That's right.
Taking it to Sunny over the
That's
head.
Right. All right, so let's get up. Let's get some height going on those things. And also, here's another thing I'm looking for as well.
The fruit runs to the bottom. Makes no sense. Why would they do that? Why would that happen? What are the properties that you imagine exist that the fruit would just pass through the white, dense yogurt? It would just reach the bottom magically. That was the argument.
My bigger argument is, Jimmy, stop pretending like you thought of this before now.
That was the best argument ever.
All right, that was a great argument. My next thing is this. I would like yogurt more clearly labeled. I feel like every time I pull that foil hymen off the top of the yogurt, I'm just spinning a roulette wheel. I have no idea if it's going to be premixed or fruit at the bottom or white, like all white yogurt with the fruit at the bottom, or some color in it with fruit at the bottom, or all color and no fruit at the bottom. I know I could get a jeweler's loop out and examine what's on the side of the thing, but I open yogurt. I'm like a newborn. When I open that, it's like I have no idea what awaits me inside that yogurt container.
You don't see the joy that might bring to you? A little excitement.
A little more label on there. All right. What are we talking about?
I want to tell you about this Super Bowl because this is the intersection.
Brady's not allowed to eat yogurt.
That's a good conversation, too, about what price you are actually willing to pay. You know, like the sex symbol guys of the world, like Matt Damon, I've read a quote by him saying, like, yeah, you think it would be great to be this, but it kind of sucks because you just constantly have to deprive yourself to stay in sex symbol state. Would you be willing to do
Chris
that?
Chris Pratt is always complaining that it's like, I miss beer. Like, he wants to have some beers. You know, he's got to do Galaxies of the Universe Part 7 in a Speedo, you know, and it's like, I can't have many beers. Like, you're actually just a regular guy who drives a forklift is probably happier at night because he can crack a couple of cold ones.
You know what? There's a legitimate point in there, and it's something to do with what you always talk about. You just can't replace the toil required to do things. Everybody wants to do things, but they just want to get to the finish line. They would like to be placed like three steps from the finish line. Yeah, are you really willing to do what Tom Brady's going to do? Would you really live that life for more than 3 weeks? Would you do that in perpetuity? For a decade, because if you will, then maybe good things will happen for you. But that life would suck.
Well, I'll tell you what my exercise routine would consist of.
Yeah.
Banging the bejesus out of Giselle Bundchen.
Vigorous lovemaking. Oh. Thrice daily.
Oh, man. When you saw me 2 months later, you'd be like, what happened, Adam? Did a UPS cargo plane go down and you had to survive on an island? I'd be like, nope, just eating Himalayan sea salt and banging Giselle Bundchen and not cooking with olive oil.
Makes sense.
Yeah. Wait a minute, Dylan. I want you to investigate Tom Brady's diet a little more, like breakfast, lunch, and dinner. And let's see if we could possibly stay on this. By the way, Chris Pratt just got done doing like Ham or Hezekiah's or something from the Job from the Bible's diet. He literally like unleavened bread and bitter herbs and roasted eggs or something. He did a weird 21-day from the Bible diet.
Ugh, sounds horrific. What kind of life is that? These are the people that we aspire to be like? I wouldn't want that.
He's a spiritual man.
All right. Good for him. Hey, I want to play this. You know, we went, as I mentioned earlier in the weekend many times before, because so many stories came out of that magical trip to New Orleans a decade and a half ago with Kimmel, Sal, and Baby Doll Dixon and everybody else. But you were there, and you were a Rams supporter. But to be fair, it was the St. Louis Rams. And me and Sal have given you a lot of junk over the years about leaving at halftime because you didn't like your seat and whatever. But like I say, it was St. Louis's team at that point. The last time the L.A. Rams were actually in the Super Bowl, it was 1979. Nay, it was January of 1980, 2 weeks after the Rams had, in the all-time title game, defeated the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Do you remember that game, Ace?
Yeah.
Do you? Fat Frank Corral kicked three field goals to provide the winning margin of 9-0 in the NFC title game. The worst championship game ever, and waiting for the survivor of that was the mighty Pittsburgh Steelers dynasty, and then the Rams almost beat the Steelers, too. It seemed impossible.
With Vince Ferragamo at quarterback, like, it was crazy.
It really was weird, and it was a ball game, and it was surprising because at the half, the Rams led, and at the end of three quarters, the Rams led. And the only thing that spared the Steelers the humiliation of losing or having their dynasty with the wheels coming off in its last race pulled it out because of the heroics of Terry Bradshaw in front of the Rams, basically the home crowd, at the Rose Bowl. A lot of great storylines, a lot of excitement, electricity in the joint, except with the legendary play-by-play man, Pat Summerall, one of the great plays in Super Bowl history. Terry Bradshaw throws a 73-yard bomb to John Stallworth. Listen to how excited Pat Summerall was in describing that action.
Hey, I did a basket catch. The two Rams defenders, one probably Rod Perry, came from one direction. Pat, can't remember, came from the other direction. Pat Thomas.
Ah.
Or Nolan nice. Cromwell. But it was probably Pat Thomas and Rod Perry. And it was like, it was this crazy play where Stallworth just broke straight up the field. One Rams guy from the right and one Rams guy from the left are both coming to like almost create a point of an arrow from like the bottom, like a pyramid, like at the bottom mm-hmm. of the pyramid. They're all going and Stallworth is like running straight up the pyramid. And these two guys are coming from the corners of the pyramid and they all arrive at the same time. But Pat Thomas and Rod Perry were notoriously undersized DBs, even by those standards. They're like 5'8", 5'9". They both leapt. They didn't miss time their leap. They both went up at the same time, and they both just crossed at the same time. And you can watch it 10 times. You can't tell whether it touches his finger or barely skims his finger or is a millimeter from his finger. And Stallworth, the one of, you know, he's the Taylor of the Rice and Taylor and Lynn Swan Stallworth
right.
team. It's just... just in the most clutch situation ever, just takes it in over his
catches
shoulder.
Catches it in stride, runs it in just over the fingertips of the DB, right. Pat Summerall. Touchdown Steelers.
And they both, you know, they would have tackled him on the 28 or something, or maybe the 31 or whatever it was, but they both had a good play on the ball. Like, mm-hmm. they weren't playing him. They could, the defense was playing pretty good. The Steelers' offense wasn't exactly lighting up the scoreboard. If one of them had gone for the tackle and the other had gone for the ball, you know, they may have stopped. I don't know where he gathered it in on the 28 or the 25 or the 30 or what, Garrett.
It was closer to the 23 or 4, something like that.
That could have held him to a field goal or something, but they both went for the ball. They just crossed. And I remember watching that. In the 10th grade going, God damn it, just a millimeter, mm-hmm. a millimeter.
Ooh, another fat coach from football history, Ray Malavasi.
Ray Malavasi. But he had awesome skin. All right, let me tell you about MedMen. Break free from the status quo this year and surprise someone special with a different kind of flower. Candy or chocolate from MedMen Premium Dispensaries. Yeah, man. They may even have a love potion or two for you and your honey bunny. Mm. After all, red is the color of passion, desire, and MedMen. Or if you're single, treat yourself to a day or a night out with one of MedMen's 15 locations. You'll find one near you. Let their team, including in-house pharmacists at medical stores, help you find the gift you've always wanted. So if you got the gal, go to MedMen. If you're going single this year, go to MedMen at MedMen.com to find the store nearest you. At MedMen.com, find one of the 15 locations that's nearest you at MedMen.com. Right, Gary?
That's right. This February, love and cannabis are in the air, where there's a perfect match for everyone. Visit a MedMen store today and use code Adam Carroll at checkout to get 10% off your purchase. Terms and conditions apply.
All right. We will talk to you tomorrow on Good Sports as we get ready.
We're looking at Ray Malavasi.
Look at him.
I told you his skin was luminescent.
Hey, yeah. Listen, that's by the way, the glow of Southern California on his face.
On tomorrow's show, we'll be ready to give you guys a bigger breakdown on Tom Brady's diet.
Oh, yeah.
Ooh, and we'll make know. And Ace and I will deliver our very important Super Bowl 53 predictions. Look for that tomorrow on Good Sports. Until then, for Adam Carolla, Dave Damashek out. Good Sports.
Follow the Adam Carolla Show on Twitter at Adam Carolla Show. Follow us on the Twitter at Adam Carolla. You can leave us a voicemail about your ran left turn arrow at 888-634-1744. See you out at the Tenney Booze and Book Club, featuring Mike McGowan, the book Ghost, and a rep from Balboa Entertainment to discuss Stallone playing Mike McGowan in the movie. That's all at Tenney, brought to you by Corolla Drinks, February 7th in downtown L.A. For tickets and info on all the live podcasts, Mangry events, books, movies, and more, go to AdamCarolla.com and stay tuned for AP News.